Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the revelation given to St. John. Our Lord allowed St. John to, in a sense, be transported to see the amazing, beautiful vision of heaven on Judgment Day and so on. And we read there from chapter 7, verse 13. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. My freshman year in high school, I was living in a dormitory in New Ulm. MLC used to have a high school on their campus. And there was an upperclassman who was about my height, but rather stocky and rather strong. And he apparently was a very good boxer. And he owned two sets of boxing gloves. And every year, I found this out later, he would go to one of the brand new freshmen, first week of classes, and he would find somebody a little bigger than him, and he would challenge him to a boxing match out in the hallway for everybody to come and see. And he would pretend that he didn't know anything about boxing. And I remember he said, my uncle gave me some boxing gloves. I've never boxed before. Have you ever boxed?" And he'd usually find somebody that would say, "Yeah, a little bit. Well, why don't we try them on and let's go at it a little bit and see what it's like." And for a few minutes he would pretend that he didn't know what he was doing and let the guy hit him a little bit. And then all of a sudden it would kick in and he would start to pummel this freshman and just humiliate him. He picked out somebody he knew he could beat. He got himself into a contest that he was very confident he could win. That's true oftentimes for us when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to moral matters. We like to find people out there in the world that we know we can beat. We like to set ourselves up in moral contests where our virtues are going to shine so nicely compared to others. Those are the contests we like to be in. They claim that one of the reasons that a lot of the reality TV shows do so well today, Desperate Housewives and Bridezilla and Jersey Shore and Jerry Springer and so on, is because of this very issue, that deep in the heart of people there is this pride, this sense of wanting to feel morally better than others. And when we watch shows like that, it makes us come away thinking, I'm not so bad after all. Rarely do we come home from work and talk with our spouses about the good things that other people have done on this campus. But man, when you hear something juicy, that's something you don't mind talking about right away. And you can go on and on talking about that. The problem for us when it comes to these types of things is that this sense of moral superiority that we can feel by comparing ourselves to the world and putting ourselves in contests, we know we can win when it comes to our goodness. It's easy for us to falsely then transfer that way of thinking into our relationship with God. But here's the problem. That might be a good standard for us to use when we want to get a sense of feeling better than others or kind of feel good about ourselves and as far as how we compare to people out there in the world. It might be a way for us to feel good, a good standard to use when we want to make sure that fellow Christians think well of us. But this is not going to be the standard God uses on Judgment Day. These are the demands God makes on me and you. Listen, "You shall be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect," Jesus says. He said at one point, "Unless your righteousness, your goodness, exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." And the Pharisees were pretty good. They were very, very moral people. And when we're honest with ourselves, even when we look at the things that we do right as Christians, even when we think about the ways and the times that we have obeyed God's will, and when we strive to do that, when we really examine it closely, we realize that even the best things that we do, they're still tainted with our sin. When we try to be nice to people and show genuine love to them, there's also a little part of us, when we're doing that, that's thinking, boy, I hope they notice this. I hope somebody says something about this. Whenever we try to say the right thing and do the right thing and so on, there's often that sense of pride again, that, boy, I hope this helps my reputation. If we give a large gift to the church, partly in our minds might be, I wonder what the counters are going to think when they open up this envelope. Years ago, I had a very devout Christian man who enjoyed an extremely good reputation among fellow Christians. I had him come and talk to me and break down, explaining to me how hard it was to live up to this reputation that he had among people, and that it bothered him that everybody thought he was so great, and he himself knew that it was completely the opposite inside. And when it came to him thinking about leaving this life, he said he was absolutely terrified of what God would think of him. The prophet Isaiah sums up our spiritual lives in one quick statement, using it as an image of a garment. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. The best that we can offer to God, even the greatest, most wonderful things that the people in our lives might praise us for and think highly of us for before God, just stinks like a bad robe. And so God would have us understand that true goodness, true holiness, true righteousness consists in nothing at all but knowing Jesus, knowing Christ by faith. That is the only goodness, that is the only record that will ultimately stand up on Judgment Day. And the righteousness that God demands of us is not an active righteousness that we have to be involved in producing. It's a passive righteousness that God just gives to us, that he just credits to us through Christ. One of the built-in problems that we have, however, and this is true of many things in our spiritual lives, is that issues that deal with us and God and spiritual matters, they're invisible. They're things that we cannot see. We don't see this holiness that God has now credited to us. All we see is what we know is going on in our own minds and hearts and consciences. We know how sinful we are. And it's hard for us to imagine that God sees us in this way. These new holy robes, these white robes that John is having described to him here, we don't see them. Imagine a multimillionaire who has decided that before he dies, he's going to now will his entire estate to a beggar in town. And the beggar has now been informed of it, but the beggar says, well, I don't look like a millionaire, and I certainly don't feel like a millionaire yet, even though he already possesses it. Might be hard to convince him of that. Listen to what Luther says about this holiness that God now credits to us. He says, Christendom will not be known by sight, but by faith. A Christian is even hidden from himself. He does not see his holiness and virtue, but sees in himself nothing but unholiness and vice. So in the text before us, in the vision of heaven, God there, through the elder, describes to us how people get these robes. He says, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb? We do that every time we come before God honestly with all of our guilt and our sin and just put it out there on the table before him and say, God, I am such a sinful person. Please forgive me for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. And when that takes place in the heart, and when we, even with a trembling hand, hold on to the grace and forgiveness of God in Christ, those are the ones who are dressed in this beautiful, holy, perfect robe. And God now sees you standing there along with the adulterer and murderer David, along with the whore Mary Magdalene, along with the thief Zacchaeus, all who also by his grace washed their spiritual robes in the blood of the Lamb and have now made them white. And so God would have you go back to the duties of your day, knowing that in his sight, through faith in Christ, you now wear this invisible gown. And he would have you wrap yourself in it for your comfort, and also especially as you look forward to the day that you are called from this earth. Amen. Please rise. Please join me now on page 159, with the collect or the prayer for this week, and that is collect number 92. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy keep us in your grace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Thank you.